per chapter 3 for this cause. See, you see a continuation of this provisional truce. For this cause, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, for in behalf of, for you Gentiles, or in behalf of your Gentiles. Now, this cause has to do with the previous chapters that we've read, all based upon God's grace that has been given to us because of the wonderful message of grace we have. This is a thought. For this cause, he come into a battle with the enemy because he was preaching the truth, and he became a prisoner. Was he a prisoner of Rome? No, it doesn't say that. He didn't give Rome first place. He didn't give Rome any honor whatsoever in this. He may be in Rome, but he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He may be in a Gentile prison or preaching the gospel or good news to the Gentile people, but although there was Jewish believers in Rome, but he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, bond slave unto him. For if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, it should be translated, if indeed, or seeing that you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words. Now, I think we talked about dispensation a little bit earlier, and this could read stewardship or administrator of the grace of God. It was given to Paul to give to us. And you put your name here. This message of Paul's grace came to, of God's grace rather, came to Paul by revelation, as we read in Galatians 1. And he said he didn't receive it of man, neither was he taught it by man, but it came by revelation of Christ. And here he says, the words I wrote afore. It doesn't mean that he wrote a previous epistle, but that he was repeating what he had written in chapter 1, verse 10. It was a repetition of that. Verse 4, let's read 4 through 6. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So when you read, I want you to have a greater knowledge. Don't just read it, but I want you to read it with understanding. How good it is to read Paul's epistles and get a deeper knowledge concerning the mystery of Christ. In 2 Timothy, Paul gave Timothy a wonderful admonition, I guess I should say, in chapter 2, verse 15. He says, Timothy, you study. Oh, I thought God just revealed it all to us. No, he wants us to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Diligently, laboringly, hard study. Dig into it and then cut it straight. How good it is to rightly divide the word of truth. How do I know that I have the word of truth rightly divided? Well, when Jesus Christ is number one. But when you read scripture, Satan, and I'm going to throw this in there, the first thing you do, don't just quote a verse. Go ahead of that verse and find the subject. Find what they're talking about and who they're talking to you, too. It makes a big difference. They may not be talking to you. You may be talking to the Jews. You may be talking to somebody else. But find out who they're talking to, what he's talking about. You remember when you was in high school, I don't know about your English classes, but, well, even before high school, even the 6th or 7th grade, the teacher told you to diagram a sentence, English teacher. What's the first thing you look for? You can't do anything. You find that one thing. You had to find the subject. And then you found the predicate and the verbs and all the things that had to do with it, the adjectives, and line them all out. But you had to find the subject first. So it is with rightly dividing the word of truth. Find out what we're talking about. And then make sure that Jesus gets all the credit for it. Twice we read, once in the Psalms and in the Hebrews, we read, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, and he might establish the second. That's in Hebrews. They don't say that in Psalms, I don't think. But anyway, it's all about Jesus. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This revelation came early in the church age. Don't let anybody talk to you about an early church and a latter church. There's no such thing. There's only one church. But it was the beginning of the church, and so we had apostles and prophets. We had those that in Romans 16:25, it says, "Now unto him that is able to establish you according to my gospel." Think about it. Why did Paul call it my gospel? Because nobody else knew about it. Peter, James, and John did not understand the gospel that God gave to Paul. He called it my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of this mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So God kept this all a secret from the day of creation, even until God revealed it to Paul, and I believe it was on the Mount of Sinai and in Arabia. Romans 2:16, we have my gospel again mentioned there, and we read that in the day when God judges the secrets of men's heart by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Was Paul's gospel disparate to the rest of them? Well, when it comes to the joining of the Jew and Gentile into one body, it was. And at the fact that there was only one body, and no one knew this good news before it was revealed to Paul. And we say, what is it? Well, we read in verse 6 of this same chapter in our lesson, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ, of Christ by the gospel. Jew and Gentile brought into one place. One called God's people, the other one called heathen, that are now on equal plane one with the other. Peter didn't understand that. If he would, he wouldn't have withdrawn himself from the Gentiles in Galatians 2. He didn't understand it. It wasn't revealed to him. The blessings of the Gentiles, we can now be heirs together with other Jewish believers, brought into one body, the same spiritual place, co-participants of God's glorious promise that we have in Christ. Galatians 3:14, which we remember, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All the blessings of Abraham are now given to Gentiles to claim. All the covenant of grace that God gave to Abraham belongs to us. And then in verse 28 of the same chapter, there are neither Jew nor Greek, there are neither bond nor free, male nor female, they're all one, made one in Christ. And the promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And that's us. Verses 7 to 9. "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual work of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, and I shall preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul was not boasting in being made a minister. The word here means to run an errand. It's different than a lot of words of minister. It means an attentive, or a waiter of a table, or in other menial duties that one might have. Paul wasn't exalting himself in a knowledge of God's grace. Paul was called by the sovereign will of God, and purpose of God. Knocked down on the road to Damascus, he was blinded in order for him to take up and see this wonderful message that nobody else ever saw. God revealed to him another road to travel than the road to Damascus. It was God's grace that changed his course of life, and a gift that was to Paul. Notice it says the effectual working of his power. Energia is the Greek word for that, where we get our English word energy, with the thought here of a strong operation. Effectual working, extra energy. It probably means that Paul put up a fight on the road to Damascus before he was knocked down. Read that in Acts 9, don't we? And Jesus says, "Saul, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks or gourds?" And this refers to the convictions of God. Verse chapter 3, "For this cause," you see a continuation of this provisional truth, "for this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, for in behalf of, for you Gentiles, or in behalf of your Gentiles. Now, this cause has to do with the previous chapters that we've read, all based upon God's grace that has been given to us because of the wonderful message of grace we have. This is a thought. For this cause, he come into a battle with the enemy because he was preaching the truth, and he became a prisoner. Was he a prisoner of Rome? No, it doesn't say that. He didn't give Rome first place. He didn't give Rome any honor whatsoever in this. He may be in Rome, but he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He may be in a Gentile prison for preaching the gospel or good news to the Gentile people, but although there was Jewish believers in Rome, but he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Bond slave unto him. For if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, it should be translated, if indeed, or seeing that you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words. Now, I think we talked about dispensation a little bit earlier, and this could read stewardship or administrator of the grace of God. It was given to Paul to give to us. And you put your name here. This message of Paul's grace came to, of God's grace rather, came to Paul by revelation, as we read in Galatians 1. And he said he didn't receive it of man, neither was he taught it by man, but it came by revelation of Christ. And here he says, the words I wrote afore. It doesn't mean that he wrote a previous epistle, but that he was repeating what he had written in chapter 1, verse 10. It was a repetition of that. Verse 4, let's read 4 through 6. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So when you read, I want you to have a greater knowledge. Don't just read it, but I want you to read it with understanding. How good it is to read Paul's epistles and get a deeper knowledge concerning the mystery of Christ. In 2 Timothy, Paul gave Timothy a wonderful admonition, I guess I should say, in chapter 2, verse 15, he says, Timothy, you study. Oh, I thought God just revealed it all to us. No, he wants us to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Diligently, laboringly, hard study, dig into it, and then cut it straight. How good it is to rightly divide the word of truth. How do I know that I have the word of truth rightly divided? Well, when Jesus Christ is number one. But when you read scripture, saints, and I'm going to throw this in there, the first thing you do, don't just quote a verse. Go ahead of that verse and find the subject. Find what they're talking about and who they're talking to. It makes a big difference. They may not be talking to you. He may be talking to the Jews. He may be talking to somebody else. But find out who they're talking to, what he's talking about. You remember when you was in high school, I don't know about your English classes, but, well, even before high school, even the 6th or 7th grade, the teacher told you to diagram a sentence, English teacher. What's the first thing you look for? You can't do anything. You find that one thing. You had to find the subject. And then you found the predicate and the verbs and all the things that had to do with it, the adjectives, and line them all out. But you had to find a subject first. So it is in rightly dividing the word of truth. Find out what we're talking about. And then make sure that Jesus gets all the credit for it. Twice we read, once in the Psalms and in the Hebrews, we read, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, and he might establish the second. That's in Hebrews. They don't say that in Psalms, I don't think. But anyway, it's all about Jesus. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This revelation came early in the church age. Don't let anybody talk to you about an early church and a latter church. There's no such thing. There's only one church. But it was the beginning of the church, and so we had apostles and prophets. We had those that in Romans 16:25, he says, "Now unto him that is able to establish you according to my gospel." Think about it. Why did Paul call it my gospel? Because nobody else knew about it. Peter, James, and John did not understand the gospel that God gave to Paul. He called it my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of this mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So God kept this all a secret from the day of creation, even until God revealed it to Paul, and I believe it was on the Mount of Sinai and in Arabia. Romans 2:16, we have my gospel again mentioned there, and we read that in the day when God judges the secrets of men's heart by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Was Paul's gospel different to the rest of them? Well, when it comes to the joining of the Jew and Gentile into one body, it was. And at the fact that there was only one body, and no one knew this good news before it was revealed to Paul. And we say, what is it? Well, we read in verse 6 of this same chapter in our lesson, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ, of Christ by the gospel. Jew and Gentile brought into one place. One called God's people, the other one called heathen, that are now on equal plane one with the other. Peter didn't understand that. If he would, he wouldn't have withdrawn himself from the Gentiles in Galatians 2. He didn't understand it. It wasn't revealed to him. The blessings of the Gentiles. We can now be heirs together with other Jewish believers, brought into one body, the same spiritual place, co-participants of God's glorious promise that we have in Christ. Galatians 3:14, which we remember, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All the blessings of Abraham are now given to Gentiles to claim. All the covenant of grace that God gave to Abraham belongs to us. And then in verse 28 of the same chapter, there are neither Jew nor Greek, there are neither bond nor free, male nor female. They're all one, made one in Christ. And the promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And that's us. Verses 7 to 9. "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual work of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, and I shall preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul was not boasting in being made a minister. The word here means to run an errand. It's different than a lot of words of minister. It means an attentive, or a waiter of a table, or in other menial duties that one might have. Paul wasn't exalting himself in a knowledge of God's grace. Paul was called by the sovereign will of God, and purpose of God. Knocked down on the road to Damascus, he was blinded in order for him to take up and see this wonderful message that nobody else ever saw. God revealed to him another road to travel than the road to Damascus. It was God's grace that changed his course of life, and a gift that was to Paul. Notice it says the effectual working of his power. Energia is the Greek word for that, where we get our English word energy, with the thought here of a strong operation. Effectual working. Extra energy. It probably means that Paul put up a fight on the road to Damascus before he was locked down. Read that in Acts 9, don't we? And Jesus says, "Saul, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks or gourds?" And this refers to the convictions of God.